track at the wall. We are tied.
Look at this. He's landing it forward. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm dropping a big leg. Over for the cover. He got it. Unbelievable.
High fly ball.
He got it! The Stunner! Mike Tyson in! Austin is the champion! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
Now the 2-2. Well hit, doubling for a one. Way back in!
Touch a ball, Drew! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life!
Dealing with the X Factor.
I got everything high as a woman, and I'll never give that back.
Yo.
We get everything you ever wanted right here on Duty War on the North-South Connection. JT and Marcus, we honor all the legends of Duty history and their theme music at times as well. Hope everyone is doing well. Welcome back to another great installment. We're here every other Thursday, both audio and video. Video on YouTube, audio on any podcast application. On the North-South Connection, be sure to subscribe. Both of those, as well as the social media. Myself and Ryan Gray right now in the middle of counting down every single WrestleMania match of all time, all 402 of them, all done in short format, all less than 1 minute long on YouTube Shorts, TikTok, and Facebook Reels and Instagram as well. So be sure to check out, to subscribe. You don't want to miss any of that. We get a ton of WrestleMania content coming. We're going to be counting down the greatest WrestleMania performers. We're going to be previewing all the matches. A lot of cool stuff. So get in now. Don't miss a thing during the hottest wrestling season of the year. Marcus, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. As we were talking, Yankees are practically undefeated in spring training. So yes, World Series is on. I'm feeling good. Vibes are immaculate. We're on the road to WrestleMania. And more importantly, we are on the road to SummerSlam 2005.
We are, my friend. And it's a big one. This whole season's big. And you may have heard me say season. You're wondering what's that if you're new to the show. Marcus and I are going through every pay-per-view in WWE history. We're doing it in a seasonal format, and then we randomly are choosing seasons. So we're not doing anything chronological outside of that season. For us, a season means the pay-per-view starting the month after WrestleMania in any given calendar year, ends with WrestleMania the following year. So for this season, we started Backlash 2005. We're going to end with WrestleMania 22. Then we'll shuffle things up and head off to a new season at a different time in company history. We're looking at every pay-per-view in a metric-based plus-minus system. So we have a series of categories. We look at, you know, what's great, what's not so great, and we do a plus minus from there. We use a baseline of replacement level. If you're a baseball fan or even if you're not, it's a pretty simple concept. What is the most average thing you can do, right? What's an average match, an average hitter, average commentary, average crowd? If anything is above that average, that gets a point. Anything below that average gets minus a point. We net all that out. We grade every match as well. We net all that out, plus minus over an average match grade, and then we give a total war score at the end. We're allowed a max of 3 points on either side. So if it's just a standard, you know, better than average, it gets a one. If it's something that's really freaking good, we give it a two. And if it's all-time great, we give it three. Same on the other end as well. So that all said, Marcus, what are the categories that we break these pay-per-views down on?
Yeah, our categories are build, commentary, atmosphere, notable moments and importance, our match grades, card structure, rewatchability, and all-time matches. And an all-time match for us to be in the plus category is something we both agree is 4.25 and above, or 4.25 in layman's terms. And for it to be a minus, it is something we both agree is 0.75 and below.
Correct, my friend. All right, so why don't we dive in? We're only doing one show. Normally on this podcast here, we do two pay-per-views, but this is a big one. So we wanted to just do SummerSlam 2005 here tonight because I think we're going to need a lot of focus on it and leave some time to marinate. Of course, a couple episodes back, bud, we broke our system big time with One Night Stand 2005. We'll cover the breakdown as we get to the end of the episode, but we'll see if we can recalibrate a bit because this is a show I think that is well-regarded by many. So let's see if it holds up. SummerSlam 2005, August 21st in the MCI Center, Washington, D.C., 18,176 in attendance, 650,000 buys. We have our usual split commentary crew, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler on Raw, and the coach, Jonathan Coachman. And on SmackDown, Michael Cole and Taz handled the duties there. We had one dark match, the masterpiece, Chris Masters defeated the Hurricane by submission in just under 2 minutes. That was on Heat. And then that brings us to our actual pay-per-view. And we start with a bit of a mulligan, Marcus, from last show with Great American Bash, where Orlando Jordan defeated Chris Benoit to retain his U.S. title. They rectify it this time. Chris Benoit destroys Orlando Jordan. He taps him out in 25 seconds to win the United States Championship. A hot start. The crowd is pretty pumped for it. It was a good make good from the last one. Get this belt off of OJ that's been really hanging the division down for a while now. Give it to Benoit. Let us see what he can do with it over the winter as we head through the fall winter. So I went 2.5. To me, it's just a standard squash, but I like the way they went about it, and it was a good way to start the show.
Yeah, Jordan had a, 5-month reign, and they kind of kept talking about it as it, like, you know, being a bigger deal and a longer reign and trying to get him over in that way. The Great American Bash match was really good, but it was also like a really good Chris Benoit broomstick match. And that's not to say Orlando Jordan's not a competent wrestler, but it was Benoit just walking somebody through his match. And this, like you said, it felt like they were kind of rectifying that with like, okay, let's give Benoit something here. Let's give the crowd something. So I went 3 on it. I thought it was the right call, a surprise finish with it being a short match. That kind of match hadn't been abused yet. The quick one round knockout or submission style, if you will, finish to a WWE match. So 3 for me. And we keep moving on to our next match, which is a grudge match. Oops, as I almost break the spreadsheet there. Matt Hardy takes on Edge. This one has been building both online and on TV. I went 3.5. They really went out there and delivered a different style of match. We get a different finish with the stoppage for the cut and for like Matt Hardy being unable to defend himself. And I think we are 2 for 2 when it comes to our matches this evening.
Yeah, I went 3.5 on this. On the surface, you kind of think, oh, it's a bit of a fart bomb, right? Hardy has a big return after being cucked and look like kind of a bitch and run off, gets fired, comes back, and then immediately jobs and gets knocked out and bloodied by Edge. So it's like, all right, are they really going to give him much to work with here? But it actually really works pretty well as part one of the story. And I remember Matt even defending it online is like, oh, part of the story or whatever.
There's seven parts to the story, Adam.
Yeah, well, he gets 1 out of 7. But it's pretty well executed. The headshot on the post looks really good. Edge is beating him bloody into a stoppage. They never do stoppages, so that was cool. It's quick, it's hard hitting, it's stiff. So I like it. It's just different. I like that it's very different. And at the time, again, it might have seemed frustrating, but as we'll get to on our next episode in a couple weeks, the next pay-per-view, they kind of make up for it and make the story does feel a little bit better when you put the two matches together. All right, we continue with the heavy hitters here. So our next match is Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero in a ladder match for the fate of Dominic. Obviously, we've covered this whole angle. It's been a pretty big one. We've liked a lot of it. We've talked about its importance to SmackDown and with the Latino audience, telenovela style, what they did with it. They really go heavy on the soap opera stuff here. They have Dominic, who Eddie, you know, says he's the real father. I'm your papi. And, of course, had given him up for adoption to Rey. Dominic finds out. He's with the social worker. And they basically put the rights to Dominic up in this ladder match, which Rey wins. I think I've always been a little lower than most on this one because I do feel like there's, I don't want to say sloppiness in there, but I feel like it's not as crisp as some of their best stuff. I also think the stipulation is a little ludicrous, and we'll talk about this later, my rationale why. But I went 4.25 on this. Still a great match, but I have it a little below. I think most, I have it like all-timer.
I came in pretty neutral on the match. I kind of gave it like a baseline, like, all right, I think this is like at least 3.75, but let's go from there. Kind of, I ended up at 4.5, which was a surprise to myself, but, it was just kind of the perfect culmination to this over the top borderline ridiculous storyline. But it just shows the strength of these guys. Like when you get the performers to buy in and they can convince you, you know, they believe that it's real. They get commentary to bite. We'll talk about commentary later during this match. Yeah, man, it's ridiculous, but the match was really good. It's not their cruiserweight stuff. You know, they're both older, a lot bigger.
Yeah, it was never going to be. They're both way more. I mean, Ray's still got his speed, and Eddie's still an awesome worker, but they're just different than they were, you know, eight years before WCW. They both come along, been through a lot of stuff, right? Ray with a bunch of knee injuries, Eddie through addiction and recovery, and he's put on a lot of mass.
Car crash.
Yeah, so they were never going to be the same as they were in 97 regardless.
Yep. All right. What do we got up next? We got Eugene taking on Kurt Angle. We're getting really close to my favorite era, Kurt Angle, Perk Angle. This is for the gold medals. As we get a cool theme throughout the night so far, a lot of stakes in these matches, which I really like. But this is for control of the gold medals. Kurt had been kind of doing these open challenges on Raw, and then eventually Eugene got his number. So this is just pretty much like a display for Kurt Angle. I went 3.25. It's almost kind of like the Benoit Orlando Jordan match, just much shorter from Great American Bash. It's just purely like a Kurt Angle display. Eugene does his part keeping up, but Angle looks awesome here.
You know, we talked about SummerSlam 04 many seasons ago and Triple H just like destroying Eugene. It's a different way they went about it, right? That one, it felt mean-spirited. Eugene was hot. It felt like this. I don't know why it felt different, because it's essentially the same sort of match. We're a year further in with Eugene. He's a little bit lower on the card. You could argue it feels like a waste of Angle, but they were really just like the next night, right? They're going to fire him up. So they just kind of needed to fill a month for him until he gets heated back up. So is this as good a way as any to do it? Is just have him destroy Eugene. He gets cheered here. Eugene gets booed. It's a great moment. It feels cathartic. It's way better than the year before for whatever reason. Angle just leans into it better. But this really starts, like you said, the run of Perk Angle, like, you know, super shoot worker over the next year that we're going to see. So kicks off with this.
Yeah.
All right. This show is all heavy hitters. I mean, you talk about this is all heavy hitters. It's a loaded show. One of the benefits of the brand split, I guess, right? You end up getting the top of each show. But this one is Undertaker versus Randy Orton. It's a rematch from WrestleMania. And Orton gets the win here, gets the win back from Mania. Of course, we get the chicanery. As always, Cowboy Bob is back dressed as a fan. And Orton had been off for a lot of the summer, too, right? Because he had got hurt. Needed to rehab after the Mania match, so they reignite this feud right away when he comes back, and is going to continue through the rest of the year. So Orton picks up the victory. Again, I like this. I think it's maybe just a half a hair below Mania, but it's really close. I went 4 stars on this. They just have really good chemistry.
Yeah, I went 4 as well, just below their Mania match for me. But man, when you're talking about a rematch, it's right up there with the original. It's really good stuff, and I like the involvement. Cowboy Bob getting in there. It was kind of cool to see him get thrown into this, and we'll kind of track that as we go throughout the rest of the year here, to the halfway point of the season. Next up, another heavy hitter, man. The hits just keep on coming as we've got our WWE champion, John Cena, defending against Chris Jericho. Again, now the heel turn is finally complete. Yeah. 100%. Jericho is now, you know, Bischoff's, you know, chosen one, I guess you could say. I went 3.75. Always been a little bit lower on this match. And maybe it's just me kind of like projecting the fact that like Jericho is ready to go. Kind of hurts this match for me.
I went 4. I think it's on par with Vengeance, a three-way. A lot of good back and forth, a lot of good work. Cena, you know, this is where the start really set him up to fail. We'll see it over the next few months for sure. Crowd is kind of pro-Jericho here. Like you said, they have a rematch the next night, and that's a loser-lose-town match. Jericho loses. He gets fired by Bischoff, and he's gone. No, you were there for that. All right, there you go.
I was there, yeah.
And he's out. So he's gone for, what, 2 years? I think he comes back at the end of 07. So a little bit of a break for Jericho. I think he needed it. I think he had could use a little refreshing off camera. Attacked you would take a lot of times from here over the next 10 years from this point, kind of come and go to give a break. But yeah, the match is great. And it's, you know, Cena's racking him up. I mean, yeah, they're putting him with the right people, but him and JBL Judgment Day was awesome. Three-way of Vengeance was awesome. This match is awesome. So far, it's not right. It's filled with pay-per-view bangers. So however we're getting there, we're getting there. All right, we have our other world title match. That is Batista taking on JBL. I went 3.25. I think it's exactly what you'd expect it to be. Not a big fan of the swap. We talked about this. I think Batista would have been better served on Raw. Cena staying on SmackDown. They could have done things a little bit differently. And with Hassan getting canceled, like we talked about last episode, they just go right back to JBL because they kind of panicked. They didn't really have anyone ready-made for a world title feud. So again, it feels like, all right, back to JBL. What are we going to do now? And we'll see for Batista. There's like kind of the fall and winter. It's got a little weird for him. And they kind of shoved him into SmackDown without really much of a plan, I felt like. So they were just desperate to get Cena on Raw for whatever reason. So this match is fine. Again, it's JBL just feels a little bit washed as a world title guy. We just said, no, you're not washed. We're just done with it. We just lived it for over a year. Like, give it a break. Yeah. And they tried. Yeah. They tried to.
And he's not a threat. You know Batista's not losing his title, so it's a tough spot. You wish maybe they could have utilized a guy like Christian, maybe get him in there, do something to spice this match.
That would have been a good one.
Or at least not so much the match, but the matchup. Like we know JBL is not winning, so like can you do something else to make it a little bit better? That said though, I still went 3.5. I really like the presentation of the match. This is what the Great American Bash match should have been. This is what I was looking for. Next up it is our
Christian too was like, well, he was still super over after Vengeance. They moved him to SmackDown and they had the match. They did him versus Batista. And then Batista basically squashes him. And like, that's it. So it was almost like a FU to fans that really were behind Christian. And then they just sit on him until he leaves. So like, it feels like they just really were trying to get rid of him the way they handle it. When again, they could have had that at SummerSlam, but at least it would have been fresh and hot. You could still have Batista kill him, but at least it's something different. Instead, Christian's not even on the card. He was one of the most over guys this summer. So real disappointing approach.
Yeah. And we know what Christian's going to do in the summer of 2011, which we already covered on this program. But you can't convince me that he couldn't have done that to the tune of 3.5, 3.75, 4 stars with Batista during this run in 2005.
And he does great stuff in TNA, good. Like months later. Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's not much. It's not like it was a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got for our main event, the special attraction match, a dream match for some people. It is the return of Hulk Hogan to singles competition, taking on the pseudo heel, Shawn Michaels. This one had a legendary build. We'll get into that in a little bit. As far as the match, I went 4. It just kind of, and I talked to our buddy Aaron about this. The match just kind of stands alone, and I think you just kind of have to throw logic a little bit out the window and just kind of enjoy it for what it is. Hogan's not really in, like, physical peril when you look at Shawn. Hogan's never needed guys to bump around for him. That's never been his style. The strength of his match has always come from his selling, not from the selling of another guy. But here, like, Sean's pretty tenacious. Like, he's pretty vicious. He works the cut. He gets that open. He stays on top of Hogan. He pulls out the tricks that he knows. So he's relentless, and that kind of helps put Hogan in physical danger. So I went 4. You know, just shy of all-timer for us, but really good stuff.
It's interesting because, like, on its surface, it wasn't ever really like a dream match you thought of, you know, like Sean versus Hogan. Like, they just never really crossed paths fully. They, you know, Sean would take some shots at him here and there, but it never felt like, oh, this is a dream match that we never got during the Monday Night Wars or something. But once they got together, it was like, all right, they have pretty good chemistry. I remember at the time I was working a job where it was weekends and holidays, whatever. So I remember I was working on that July 4th Raw, watching it at work when Sean turned on him, which is a great moment. You know, they have the tag match, and then Sean is celebrating at the end with Hogan. They do a long celebration, I think, and then he super kicks him and stands over him. It was a really good turn. And then the build is fantastic. Sean, you know, it's the last glimpse of any kind of DX heel Sean that we ever get, pretty much, from here on out. It's a masterpiece of 6 weeks of nostalgia, something that people had been hoping for. Maybe we'd get a Sean heel run at some point. And you have to close the show with it. There's no doubt about it there. It's a match you had to. It's Hogan's first singles match since 2003. So I think him and Piper was the last singles pay-per-view match he had in May of 03. So it was due for this, for him to come back and have this. And it was well orchestrated, well worked. I mean, some people, you know, shit on Sean selling, like he was trying to make Hogan look bad, overselling and bumping. But when you watch it, it just feels like an 80s Saturday Night's Main Event juiced up match, right? With like crazy over the top selling and bumping around. I feel like just a Mr. Perfect match when he really was just going nuts. So it is what it is. I have some qualms with the finish a little bit, you know, with the Sean kind of laying there forever, like off the big boot, and Hogan, you know, doing the thing. Like, that's a little silly. But either way, the crowd loved it. It's super over. I went 4 stars as well. So, all right. So we tallied up. Yeah, go ahead.
It's fascinating to me just to kind of see Sean, who's kind of been a, you know, the golden boy for Vince. And Vince has always bent over backwards to cave in to Sean throughout the years, as you're covering on War or Monday Night Warzone. Thank you. Sean gets inserted into the WrestleMania 13 build for like no good reason, just to kind of appease him. But then you get the Hulkster in here, and you really see just like what a master politician he is, and like the political hit that is this match. Yep. And it's like, for as grown as Shawn Michaels thinks that he is, there's only one Hulkster, and there's only one.
Well,
guy
there were rumors that Shawn was gonna
brother.
Yeah, there were rumors that they were gonna, early on, they were gonna do a rematch where Shawn would like win one. You know, just of course doesn't happen. But then Shawn the next night is like, it's amazing. So he comes out the next night and just buries Hogan. Buries him, and then he just goes back to be the face that same show. Masters attacks him, and they feud. But he lays into Hogan the next night as payback. So it's, but yeah, I mean, yeah, Hogan trumps all. We love you, Terry. So the total war score for matches. So we take your grade, we take my grade, we average them out, and we go plus minus from 2.5 because that's an average match grade. We aggregate that. The total war score for these matches alone is 9.5, Marcus, which makes it the second strongest in-ring show that we've covered so far. The best was SummerSlam 2015. It had a 2.25. I'll throw a caveat on that. There's a lot more matches on that show. So yes, it's a kind of an accumulator show. It's like the Ken Caminiti of shows, or Craig Biggio.
As we saw, a lot of shows during that run were dinged because there was so much volume. So that was a rare show where it actually helped.
Right. But there's so many. So it's still a great in-ring show, but there's a lot of volume. We also had TakeOver New York 2019, had 9.25. So that was close to this. And that makes more sense. There's only like four matches on that show, 4 or 5 matches on that show. So that's similar to this. But this is a 9.5. So it's a top 3 in-ring show for us that we've covered so far. And it bears out our grades. I mean, it's super tight. It's, you know, the worst is that squash, and even that's great. And everything else is 3.5 or 3.25 and above, pretty much. So really strong in-ring show. One of the best of all time, at least for us at this point. All right, let's get to our categories for build. We gave a point for Benoit chasing Jordan since the Bash fiasco. 2 points for Matt Hardy's return. Against the intense feud with Edge. The crowds are begging for him. He showed up on Raw unannounced. That was a really cool moment where he just like attacked Edge from the crowd, and then he attacks him backstage, and then it's revealed he had resigned. But the build is really good to this point. 3 points for Eddie and Ray. I mean, it's an all-time feud. Eddie's been driven to complete insanity because he can never beat Ray. And that leads to this stuff with Dominic, where he's just completely lost his mind, trying to do whatever he can to get into Ray's head to beat him. So it's an all-time angle. Point for Eugene stealing Kurt Angle's medals. Angle is completely pissed off and just destroys him to get them back. A point for Orton coming back from injury and picking right back up, going after Undertaker for revenge. A point for Jericho and Cena building since the draft. You know, Jericho called him out. In the highlight reel, Cena comes as champ, and he basically says, you know, coming for you. And then he turns heel, officially aligns with Bischoff. And then we gave 3 for Hogan and Shawn. We talked about it, just a bill. We had Larry King, where Shawn does the thing on Larry King. Like, that's an all-timer. The Brett tease in Montreal is an all-timer, where he plays the Brett music. There's so much good stuff in that build-up. So, and it's all Shawn, really. I mean, Hogan does a little bit, but it's pretty much Shawn carrying it on his back. So this is... You could argue it's one of the best built cards they've ever done too. Like every match, we just rattled it off. Had so much good build. You can hit the negative, but there's not too much to it.
Yeah. For our negatives, we got Y Too Cheap. Cena. We get JBL getting another title shot due to Hassan getting shelved, and that is it. So that gives us a war of 10 for SummerSlam 2005 build.
Easily one of the best built shows we've done. And they really were cooking over the summer of 05. Not a time period you think of, but it's sneaky stacked. This card is really loaded in ring and angle wise. All right, commentary. 2 points for Michael Cole. He is fantastic in the Ray Eddie match. He's a father of adopted children. So he tells the story so wonderfully into the motivation, the stakes, what it means to be an adoptive parent. Like, just everything just hits so well. You could tell he's got emotion in the story. And it comes out. A point for King, JR, and Coach doing a really good job about the crowd reactions and the story of Jericho Cena. They avoided the usual bizarre world shit, and they really kind of talked about why the crowd maybe sided with Jericho and how it plays into the story. So I thought they did a really good job there. And then a really good job of the main event. They talked about how both guys are undefeated in SummerSlam history, the importance of this Legends match between Hogan and Shawn. They met and rose to the occasion for that one.
And for commentary, we've got the rare 0. So that's definitely going to help the show out a ton.
Tells you everything's cooking here tonight. We're not usually the biggest JR King Coach fans, but they were fine on this night. Everything was either replacement level with a couple of hits. Cole and Taz are always great. Although I'd say this is one of their, we didn't have a lot of positives on them. Like, usually we'd load them up. I think they called a little bit less on this card, so that probably didn't help. But they didn't have like their all-time stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if because the in-ring action is so strong, the commentary just needed to be there and not take away.
I mean, there's only 4 SmackDown matches. One's a squash. One was Cole in a hyperdrive with Ray Eddie. And then Batista JBL is like whatever, and Taker Orton. They're pretty good in that. So they really don't have like a ton of work with on the side. Yeah. It's really a raw, heavy show. All right, atmosphere. You don't hear much about this crowd, but it's a really good one. Lillian doing the anthem in Washington, D.C. We gave a point for that. That's great. A couple of classic all-time SummerSlam theme songs with Remedy and Get It Poppin'. Those are 2 you really associate with this mid-2000s SummerSlam. A point for the classic 2000s green and blue logo and the set. You know, it's not the iconic SummerSlam look of the 80s, but it's still a really good one that you think of during when you think of SummerSlams. A point for the pot for Benoit. 2 points for the buzz for Ray and Eddie that's going on through the entrances and the match. A point for the awesome heat on Kurt Angle's entrance and him destroying Eugene. A point for the big pop when Angle sets up the medal stand and takes back his medals. The crowd goes nuts. It's so good. A point, as usual, for Taker's entrance. A point for the atmosphere. The split crowd of Cena Jericho is really intense and involved. And then the monster pop for Hogan, of course.
All right, let's check out the minus category. We got the crowd getting pissed that Matt Hardy gets waxed. And then we got the crowd split on Cena. And that really starts here and lasts for a really, really, really long time. But this is the show you can kind of pinpoint to as being like, this is where they kind of purposely start splitting the crowd on him and not doing him any favors.
Yeah, well, that'll really play out for us over the next handful of shows. I mean, it's, you know, the next couple for sure, they really don't do any favors. And then when we wrap up the season, it's another big ding for the way they present Cena. So, all right, so that's a +9 for atmosphere. So, again, very strong. Notable moments. This is one place where this card lacks. I think for as many great matches and the build, if you missed it, you just missed a great show, but not a ton happens that, like, is long lasting. So we get Benoit winning the US title, Ray winning custody of Dirty Dom, and then Cowboy Bob comes back to help Orton defeat Undertaker, and then Hogan versus Michaels happening on the show is like a big dream match. But again, some of those are like whatever. Like Benoit winning the US title is kind of the only notable thing that if you're watching chronologically and you're in the history of Dirty F at this time, or WWE, that you would miss. Like everything else is kind of secluded to this show.
Yep. Let's check out the minuses. We got Miss Crabtree, terrible CPS associate. She's the lady.
This is what drives me nuts in this feud. So like the build to this match is whatever. Okay. I can displace belief. It's again, telenovela, soap opera. Okay. We're going to fight over custody of this child, but this is the worst child protective services person I have ever seen. She's sitting ringside with the child watching these men fight for his, like, if anyone, is she really just going to hand him over to him? Like if anyone, she should take him as a ward of the state. Like this is ridiculous that she's sitting with him at ringside watching this play out and okay with it all. Like she should have been fighting tooth and nail. This isn't a good idea. What are we doing? Like what? Or just don't have her out there. Just don't have her out there. Have him with like fucking Pat Patterson or something. Like it's stupid to have the child protective services person there. That was like a step too far for me. Like that was beyond realistic for me.
Yeah, I wonder if like if it just would have been better to have Angie out there
or Chavo. You know, like well, all right, Chavo's an intermediary. I don't know if he's even Chavo at this point. Maybe he's already Kerwin White. I forget. But there had to be some Hector. Bring Hector in. Like there had to be someone we could put in there. Or like you said, like Angie, whatever it is, some kind of third party that's not like a legal representative of the state that has this child's custody hanging over a ladder at a wrestling match.
Yeah. I think there is one more minus. Oh, last pay-per-view match for Jericho for almost 2 years.
So. Yeah, this is it for him. All right, so that's a 2 unnotable moments. So not a ton, like we said. 9.5 for in-ring. Card structure. We gave a point for starting red hot with the Benoit squash. A point for Hardy and Edge treated like a real fight. We talked about it was well done. It was a beatdown. It was stiff. It was bloody. A point for using the ladder to end this war. It's a perfect stiff in theory, right? To end this definitively. 2 points for just stacking this card with well-built matches. There's no downtime. There's no down match. There's no filler. Everything hits. A point for closing with Hogan and Shawn. You know, they didn't close up the world title match, but in this case, it was not necessary. And then a point to add a brawling stiff to Batista JBL at the last moment. Really kind of amp it up and add a little juice to them. Just, you know, you knew they weren't going to be able to have a straight match and make it hit. So why not just add a little bit of something to it?
Sure. For our minuses, we got Ray looking like a little bit of a loser. Needing the help
of Vicky. That's the other thing with that match. That drives me nuts. Like, he doesn't win on his own. Like, he's trapped on the ladder. Angie has to come out. Dom's in there. Like, he looked like, I get it. You know, he's obviously outmatched size-wise by Eddie, but he put his kid's livelihood on the line. And, like, he barely, like, he's lucky he won. He's lucky. Like, if, not Angie, I mean, Vicky. If Vicky doesn't come out and Dom doesn't come out, like, get in the ring and, like, try and shake the ladder, he's screwed. So, I don't know.
Vicky, what are you doing?
They made him look like a bitch, and that's not the last time this season he looks like a bitch. Not the best presentation of Ray.
Yeah. Then one more minus here as the weird use of angle on a supercharged card. Again, it's not the worst, but it's bad enough for a ding.
They could have, like, if they really wanted to, they could have said, all right, he's going back to SmackDown for one night to challenge Batista and maybe have like a DQ or something, but at least maybe if he has like a little more juice and gives Angle something better. I don't know if that's any better than him destroying Eugene. Maybe not, but maybe if you really want to load the card up, you could have done that. No. I mean, Flair's not on the show either. Like you could have done like a dream match Angle.
That's
Flair
a weird one. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause wasn't Flair in that tag? Was it Angle and Flair in the tag on 4th of July? Wasn't that the match? Hogan and Sean, I think it might have been. I'll have to check it out.
Is it Carlito? And was Carlito? It was Carlito and Angle.
Maybe it was.
I'm pretty sure it was Carlito and Angle.
Why am I thinking Flair? Didn't someone have a, didn't Flair have like a really sweaty shirt or something? Like,
that's in the Vengeance buildup. Okay. He was dripping sweat in the Vengeance buildup.
Yeah, it's Carlito. You're right. Yeah, because he had like the blue shirt. I remember he's just like completely.
That's
drenched.
The Vengeance. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the Raw where like Angle gets drafted and Angle comes out and he goes face to face with Michaels. And it's Triple H and Flair and Batista, I think, all face to face. They have like the two big matches out there, and everybody's just dripping sweat.
The you could have done Angle and Carlito as well. I mean, he's not anywhere to be seen on this card.
Yeah,
he's kind of got stuff going on. Anyway, all right. So that's a +5 for card structure, rewatchability, a point for the stiff, bloody, hardy edge, especially the finish is great. A point for Ray hitting the West Coast pop from the top rope onto Eddie on the floor while he's holding the ladder. That looked great. We went 3 just for the whole like everything Eddie Ray, the power bomb off the case, Eddie shaking his finger at Dominic while Dominic's shaking the ladder, Vicky coming in, the crowd is into it. Like, it's a very rewatchable moment. A point for Angle's clinic, just how to have a match with Eugene, look dominant but not being like a bully to what Eugene's character is. I thought that was good. And then Batista bombing the stairs on JBL looked nasty, especially as JBL kind of was dealing with back issues already at this point. And then Sean's bumping is, I mean, it's a masterclass. I'm like, you could take it at a meta level of like just being a prick or just at a fun 80s cocaine bump fest kind of level as well.
Yeah. If you're going to ping pong around, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minuses, we got Petrified Dom and Miss Crabtree sitting ringside. And then Sean's awful sharpshooter. He messes it up again. And
why do these guys try the sharpshooter so much? Him, Rock, like, what are you doing? No one can do it. Just leave it alone. If it's not Brett, Owen, or Sting, just leave it alone. Never works. But that's a +6 rewatchability, so very strong. We had one all-time match in Eddie and Ray. We're both over 4.25. 4.25 plus. We had a lot of close calls. I mean, Taker Orton's close. Hogan and Shawn is close. Both just come up short.
It take a lot of research, but off the top of your head, do you think this is like our record for like the most close calls, like matches right outside all-time classics?
It's probably up there. I know we have more with more. We have others with more all-time classics, but I don't know. That NXT 18-19 probably has a bunch, is my guess.
A lot of four.
And 0-1-0-2. WF probably as well. All right. Total war score, Marcus, 46.5. Monster number. And if you're not for One Night Stand as the jet, you know, the massive outlier, it would be our number one show. Our number right behind it is Rumble 02 with 44. And then SummerSlam 90 at 42. So it's, you know, if you want to chalk up One Night Stand as a real extreme outlier that may never be touched, right? That's a 79. Like, this is really our sense. We are our next number one show now. We continuously have loved SummerSlam. It's, for whatever reason, it hits in our metrics, in our system. Of the top, let me see, of the top 13 shows we've done, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are SummerSlam.
The blessing of SummerSlam continues.
From back to front, SummerSlam 15, SummerSlam 99, SummerSlam 92, SummerSlam 01, SummerSlam 90, and SummerSlam 05, all inside the top 13 for us. So that's pretty crazy. SummerSlam reps well. I don't think this is too surprising to me. I think coming in, I expected this to do well. I knew it would hold up pretty good because the build was so great and the atmosphere was so great. I don't think this was too big of a shock for me. You?
No, I remember when we first started talking about this project and we talked about like, oh, where's some shows that could like, you know, really surprise us. And I remember this one was always one that was brought up as being like, this one could be really sneaky. And so far, you know, top two, would have been number one, if not for the outlier that is One Night Stand. Makes me wonder, like, can anything topple One Night Stand? You almost have to double your war score, to get the job done. You know, there's a lot of points left on the table for like commentary and a couple of those matches. If they get to 4.25, 4.25, 4.5, there's nothing really, the notable moments and importance was lacking. So there's a couple categories where you could see, you know,
it, right. It One Night Stand is a perfect 50s. Storm. I mean, that hit every category with like multiples. So the one thing I'll say too, is this season has been crushing it. So we have three pay-per-views inside the top five so far from the season. And we've only done six to seven shows. Vengeance 05 is in fifth place with 41, SummerSlam 05, and then One Night Stand 05. And then if you want to extrapolate out and say the calendar year, which we don't do here, but we have done 04, 05 season, Rumble 05 is our 12th best show. So in the top 12, four are from 2005 so far. I don't think it's a year you think of off the top of your head as like an all-time WWE pay-per-view year, but I don't know. It's pretty loaded. And WrestleMania 21 is our 14th best show. So top 14, you know, features five pay-per-views from this calendar year.
Yeah, I think 05 is held in decent regard as like a really strong wrestling year, but I think that TNA and Ring of Honor do a lot of the heavy lifting there. And WWE kind of gets forgotten about. But you see here during doing this project, whether you're looking at season or year format, they're firing on all cylinders. It's an interesting time. Taking some risks, they're pushing some new people up the card. And in our next episode, we will talk about Unforgiven and No Mercy. We're going to see a lot of new faces popping up on Raw and SmackDown, specifically SmackDown.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I think we covered enough of the top 10 in there, so I don't think we need to go any further. So thank you for joining us. SummerSlam 05 in the books. Like you said, Marcus is back in 2 weeks. We'll hit Unforgiven. We'll hit No Mercy. Calendar year 05, we've probably seen the best, is my guess. But into 06, we may have at least one great show still to come. So stay with us through the season. Go back and check it out. The rest of War's history if you're new. Subscribe to everything North-South Connection, like I mentioned earlier, both podcast, audio feed, and here on YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube as well as TikTok if you want, wherever your preferred short viewing method is, to catch up on that WrestleMania match countdown as well. So that's Marcus. I'm JT. Live your life above replacement level. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Get it poppin'.
Drop it, it's written all over your face, don't stop it, just drop it, more like it's hot mess, kicking the dough with the fofo, messing with Joe, now this chick got her ass so fat, in fact I put a drink on it and I came right back, she would never talk to a lame like that, in my ear screaming how you got a name like crack, crack. Similar to Mike Jones, say my name enough, then I'm taking you home, you know I walk, when I talk, when I sleep with the chrome, one squeezing you gone, what I look like, not taking at least 3 to 6 women out the club with me. Now we back to the pad, call it the pad, cause all these fucking with me. Talk to him dirty.
Get you up in the morning, girl, and the DJ playing that song. Now what you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Well, it's 2 up in the morning, and them niggas tired hitting your crew. Now, what you gonna do?
I'ma get
I'ma
get
now when them doors swing open with that awkward motion, what you call it? Suicide, it's a suicide. And if the niggas talk, cause they drunk off that potion, they committing suicide, it's a suicide. Let's get it poppin', my I got a shotty, my I feel sorry for your mother, give a you say. Spin your head back, promote you on a videotape.
Got it. 2 up in the morning, girl, and the DJ playing that song. Now what you gonna do? What you gonna do? It's 4 up in the morning now, and I'm trying to go home with you, girl. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Moderanos, yeah, all my people in there partying. All the party people across the world. Ladies, things of that nature.